Okay.
Well, it's good to be at Grace. I want to say to the church, thank you for again this year allowing us to be one of your missionaries and standing beside us. The Lord has really blessed us. We've been able to preach more meetings and travel more than we did last year. Seen some souls saved. Adam's up in Pennsylvania now, and we did a meeting for him up there. It went really good. He took a church that was down to about 18 in Sunday school, and the church is 125 year old. But the pastor that was before Adam would not allow anyone to testify. No one was allowed to lead in prayer. Only one man led the singing. Everyone just, in essence, just had to come to church and sit there and get up and go home. So Adam's got them testifying, soul winning, and taking part in church services now, and they're growing, and I'm grateful for that. So that's kind of the things we get to do because you stand by our side. Secondly, it's a joy for me to be here to kick off this camp meeting. I was thinking as I traveled over today, the first time I ever come and met Brother Lawrence and all you dear folk. What a blessed event that was in my life. Little did I know how close I would get to this church and what you would mean to my heart. But God really did something that first year. Came with Brother Bob and Brother Steve Ferguson. David, I don't believe, came, did he? It's just Bob and Steve and me. And they introduced me. I remember we were upstairs in the other auditorium, and Bob was scheduled to preach on Thursday night, I believe it was. And Brother Lawrence got up and said, I don't understand this. I know Bob's scheduled to preach, but I just believe Brother Hatfield has something to say to us. And I got up and preached the tater chip message. And God just came down mightily in that place. About 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, Brother Lawrence looked over to Bob and said, what do we do? And Bob said, I've got a message. So about 10:30, he took the pulpit and preached on the shepherd and his sheep. I'll never forget that message. And people were still here about 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, God just came down mightily. We've had great services like that over through the years. Now, I'm grateful to God for allowing me to be here tonight. The book of Psalms, please, in your Bible. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, I want to look at two verses in this chapter tonight. That'll be verse number 7 and verse number 8. And then bring you the message that I feel like the Lord has dealt with my heart about. Now I want to ask you to do me a favor. Find the Song of Solomon and have a marker there and be ready to turn to the Song of Solomon. That'll save a little time as we turn. and get ready. And once we get started preaching, we won't slow down. All right. Keep your marker in the book of Psalms, in Song of Solomon, but look at Psalm chapter 34 with me. And look at verse number 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. When I first read that verse of scripture, I thought about a missionary by the name of Darlene Rose. Anybody hear of Darlene Rose? Darlene Rose was a missionary to a cannibal country. And she was leading them to Christ through her outreach. And one night, these men came with swords and spears and completely surrounded her hut. And their intention was to kill her and have her for supper. And Darlene Rose knew she had no defense against these men. They were fully armed. But one thing Darlene had was Psalm 34, verse 7. Look at it again. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So Darlene said in her testimony, she walked outside and faced those men with swords and spears. And she just stood there and began to pray. And one by one, those men dropped their swords, dropped their spears, and walked away from her hut. And several years went by after that. And she led this man to the Lord and seen him baptized. And this man proceeded to tell her that he was one of those that came there to her hut that night. He had a sword in his hand. He told Darlene Rose, "We intended to kill you that night." And Darlene Rose asked that man, said, "Well, why didn't you kill me? I had no defense against you whatsoever." And the man said, "We knew we could kill you, but we knew we were no match to those men dressed in white standing around you." The Bible says, "And delivereth them." Hallelujah. So we're on the winning side. As a matter of fact, I've done read the last chapter. We on the side that's done won. This thing is settled. It is so settled, it's pitiful. It's settled. We're saved by the grace of God on our way to heaven. And I thank God that we can know in our heart that we're so saved. It's pitiful. We're eat up with it. We got it all over. Salvation's everywhere. So he said, "We knew we could not defeat those men dressed in white standing around you." And God delivered Darlene Rose, and she went on to lead several hundred of those natives to Christ. Look with me now in verse 9. Or verse 8, I'm sorry. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to bring to your attention tonight that statement, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege to be back in your house. And Lord, we've opened up our Bible and publicly read from its pages tonight. We're in the audience of the children of God. But all is in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So we come to you in prayer, asking you tonight, Lord, to bless us with your blessings, that you may accomplish your will in every one of our lives. Deal with that one where sin has made its way into their life. And then, Lord, encourage that one that's on the battlefield. Some have physical struggles. And I pray, God, that you would be an ever-present God to them physically. But Lord, all of us have spiritual struggles. We've faced our flesh and we've faced Satan today. We just need a fresh touch of God upon our lives tonight. Grant it, and we'll give you the praise and the honor for it. We ask it all in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. The Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you remember back in the revival days of America, the old timers called him the good Lord. They would stand to testify and they would say things like, the good Lord has been good to me. The good Lord has blessed my family. And they would proceed to explain what God did in the life of their family. But they called him the good Lord. The reason is, in our verse tonight, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That word good means satisfying. It's like sitting down to an evening dinner table and putting your napkin in your lap and pulling yourself up to the table and taking out supper to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times that I've eaten supper and I just didn't get satisfied. Most of the time when my wife says we're going to diet, we're going to have salad tonight for supper, I eat it, but I'm not satisfied. I don't know about you, but when I sit down at the end of a day, I want some vegetables, I want some bread, and I want some meat. And I want to eat a meal that will satisfy my hunger. That's the meaning of that word good. Oh, taste the Lord and see that he is satisfying. No matter what's going on in your life, he is satisfying to you. I want to look at those words tonight in our verse of Scripture. And if God would help me for a little while, I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Take a Bite Out of God. Amen? Take a Bite Out of God.
The first thing you're going to see is he is satisfying. Do you know I find him satisfying early in the morning? When I first wake up and I'm ready to face my day, I like to start it out with some scripture and a time of prayer. That's when the Lord is satisfying to my life. I like to close out my day with some scripture and again some prayer. And I find that once again in the close of the day, he is satisfying to my spiritual appetite. I've tried the world. And I've tried the world's gods. I've tried the music, but it's just not satisfying the way my Savior is satisfying. I have tried Hollywood. I've watched the movies that Hollywood makes, but it's just not satisfying the way my Lord is satisfying to a child of God. So the Bible thunders out and says, taste and see that he is good. Take a bite out of God and try him. You know, the Bible says that very early in the morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb of our Lord Jesus. And there she found that the stone was rolled away. And when she went in and looked inside that tomb, the Bible said there were two angels, one at the head and one at the foot. And She was confused about what she's seen, but the angel spoke up and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? For he is not here, he has risen as he said. Thank God, I'm glad he's satisfying. I come to know him at 18 years of age. Down at Godfrey Avenue Independent Baptist Church in Fort Payne, Alabama. And I found him satisfying that morning when I knelt in that altar. I'm glad he forgave all my sin. Wrote my name down in heaven. Thank God. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm somebody because of him. Hallelujah. He has been satisfying to my spiritual appetite. So I say to you tonight, take a bite out of God. You know, the first thing you're going to discover is when you take a bite out of God, you'll find out that he tastes good. Amen. He tastes good. He's a wonderful Savior. It's all about courtship. And our problem is that we're not courting the Lord. I remember when Adam was very young, I had some business at the courthouse. And little Adam asked me, he said, Daddy, what's a courthouse? I said, that's where you go court. That's a courthouse. And never did tell him the truth. Amen. But I say to you tonight, don't be afraid to court the Lord, because when you take a bite out of God, you're going to find out, friend, that he tastes good. He is marvelous to the spiritual appetite of a child of God. Matter of fact, look with me over in the Song of Solomon in chapter number 1 and look at verse number 1 of the Song of Solomon. The Bible said the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Amen. You know what? When you take a bite out of God, you find out he tastes good. It's just like when you wake up with your spouse early in the morning. Now, I don't know how you start your day, but I like to get me early in the morning. I enjoy getting a little sugar, amen, to start my day off. I say, come here, baby, and pucker up. Well, you know what? To take a bite out of God is to look toward heaven and say, come here, Lord, and let me have some sugar tonight. I need a touch from another world, thank God. And the Lord comes mightily upon those that seek him. Take a bite out of God and you'll find out that he tastes good. You just can't get away from one kiss. You'll want another. And you'll want another. And you'll want another. Our problem is we've got fundamental Baptist churches all over America today. And they're filled with saints of God that have been so long since they courted the Lord. They've gotten satisfied with just coming to church and sitting down. But I say to you tonight, the Lord is good. Take a bite out of God and you'll enjoy him. He tastes good. The Bible says better than wine. I've had the world's wine. It brings a hangover. But when you court the Lord and you get a taste of Jesus, you wake up in the morning early with a desire for him once again. And the more you're around him, the more you want to be around him. And the more you court him, the more your heart longs for him. Until you come to the place where you're like the Song of Solomon. When Solomon wrote down and said, I'm seeking for the Lord and I want to find him that my soul loveth. There needs to be a love affair between the saint and the Savior. Not just in a pulpit, but in a pew as well. A courtship that will cause us to want to rise up and taste him and see that he is good and he is pleasant to be with. Mary Magdalene ran back and got the rest of those disciples and said, come see, the stone is rolled away and he is not there. Peter ran ahead and went on the inside. Mary was standing on the outside and she saw a man outside the tomb and she thought he was a gardener and she said, sir, where have you taken him? Tell me that I may anoint his body. And that supposedly gardener that she thought it was said one word to Mary and it changed her entire life. One word is all he said to her. You said, what was that one word? He said, Mary. He called her by name. And she turned around and seen him. And she said, my Lord. And she ran over to him. She wanted to embrace him. And Jesus said, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. She caught him right in the middle of his high priest ministry, where he was gathering his own blood up from Calvary. And he was ascending up to the Father and walking into the Holy of Holies of heaven. He took his own blood and walked over to the altar and sprinkled his blood upon that altar. The Father looked over at it and said, "I'm satisfied." I just say to you tonight, take a bite out of God. He tastes good. The more you get him, the more of him you want. I hope we have that kind of camp meeting this year. I hope he just breaks out in the pews and thank God some people run the pews and run the aisle and shout and praise this God of the Savior of the world. And the more we get of him, the more we want of him. That appetite's got to be inside of us tonight. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Take a bite out of God because he tastes good. Secondly, because he talks good. Boy, I've found my conversation with him is splendid. I love it because, you know, no matter what kind of a day I have, at the end of the day, my Savior always makes sure that I know he loves me. Now, it's one thing for me to love him, but it's another story for him to love me. And I know that I haven't done everything he wanted me to do. I haven't been that model Christian. I haven't did everything he asked me to do and go everywhere he asked me to go. But at the end of the day, he still says, "I love you." He talks good. He's encouraging to my soul tonight. Take a bite out of God because he not only tastes good, but he talks good. Look with me in Song of Solomon. And look with me in chapter number 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse number 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing, the birds have come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, over and over in the Bible, he's admonishing his lover to come away with me. Let's get alone together. Let's say things to one another that's nobody else's business but ours. That's the joy of being married. It's being able to be alone with your lover at the end of the day and whisper sweet nothings in their ear that you don't want anyone else to hear but that one lover of your life. And that's the way it is with our Savior. We ought to have that same relationship. He talks good. If you will, look in chapter 4 and verse 10. He said, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Look at this. Look at verse 11. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves. And by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. his lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. I want to tell you, she is in love. Amen. She's bragging on his belly now. She's saying it's overlaid with sapphires. And she's in love. What is she doing? There's a courtship going on between Solomon and his lover. And God is saying to you and I that we are to have the same courtship with our Savior tonight. He talks good. He tells me he loves me. And I'll tell you a secret if you promise you won't tell anybody. But he tells me I'm a pretty good preacher. He does. If you said that, that wouldn't mean a whole lot, because there's just preachers everywhere to compare it to. But when I get alone with him, and it's just he and I, there have been nights when my Savior has bent down and spoke to the secrecy of my heart and said, I'm proud of you for what you're doing in your life. I just want to say, thank God, not only does he taste good, but he talks good too. We ought to court him tonight. Enjoy his presence in this camp meeting. Then thirdly, take a bite out of God, and you'll find out he'll treat you good. He'll treat you good. You know what the old preacher said? He said, the ministry doesn't pay a lot, but the retirement's out of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, what are you talking about? He treats me good. He's got good things in mind for me. He's desirous to be alone with me. He's desirous to be alone with you. He wants to treat you good. Do you know God delights in blessing us spiritually, financially, physically? God delights in blessing us with those blessings. That's the no wonder the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. He's got good things in store for me. He treats me good. Do you know he's got a honeymoon prepared? I don't understand this. But Brother Jay got saved, and in the Bible, he's called the bride of Christ. I don't understand that. And not only did Brother Jay get saved, but his lovely wife got saved, and she's called the Son of God. Miss Betty's the Son of God. Jay's the bride of Christ. They got saved by the grace of God, and now the Lord is good to them in their lives. And he wants to be to every family in this auditorium tonight. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He treats me good. He's not only called me the bride of Christ, but he's got a honeymoon in store. You know, whenever a couple gets married, the first thing they want to do is have a honeymoon. And they want to spend time alone together. Our Lord has a honeymoon in mind, and it's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. For 1,000 years, thank God, it won't be President Trump but it'll be President Jesus, glory to God. You and I will dwell here for 1,000 long years on this earth. If you hadn't figured it out now, I'm so premillennial, I got rid of my post-osties. Amen. I believe the rapture is the next event to occur. I believe any day now he's coming back for me. He's got good things in store for me. You know, there's 5 crowns that you can win at the judgment. I was reading in my Bible this week, and right now I don't remember exactly where it was, but you can look it up. But it said in my Bible that when the saints go into the judgment, they'll enter it, the judgment, with thanksgiving and with boldness. You said, we're going to the judgment of God. Oh no, he's going to know what I did. Oh no, he's going to know what I said. But that verse in the Bible said, we can be confident. We can enter the judgment with thanksgiving, hallelujah, and know that he is going to bless us there. There's a song that says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They're gone. They're cast as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. Thank God, he treats me good. He tastes good. He talks good. He treats me good. And then thank God he thinks about me when I'm not in his physical presence. You know, here upon this earth now, where our loved ones that have gone on, they're in his physical presence. I said I'm premillennial. I don't believe in grave sleeping. I don't believe our grandparents are laying in a grave somewhere waiting on the Lord to come and get them. But I believe Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And they're in his physical presence right now. You and I are in his spiritual presence. But he thinks good about me, because he will not be satisfied till I get home. And he won't be satisfied until you get home. This message tonight is about a courtship. A courtship between a God and a saint. And that courtship can grow in our lives every day, until the Bible says that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. He thinks good. My. Think of somebody unworthy. That's me. I don't deserve his blessings. I don't deserve his presence. I don't deserve his love. But he loves me with an unmatchable love and desires to have me in his physical presence. You know, Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he pulled his flesh back and allowed Peter, James, and John to see the inside of him. And they saw Shekinah glory. Now watch this. Peter all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared on that Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter looked over and he said, Lord, this is good. Let's build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And a voice came from heaven, and God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Peter had to hush up. The greatest thing about the Shekinah glory is not that Jesus had Shekinah glory, but when he opened up his flesh and allowed them to see on the inside of him, he was saying to Peter, James, and John, this is what you're I got the Shekinah glory ready for you. I don't believe we'll have blood in our bodies. I believe the Holy Ghost will dwell where our blood now dwells. You said, can you prove that? That's just some of my thinking. Amen. But I believe the Holy Ghost of God will empower us. So we'll have that Shekinah glory that Jesus had. And the Bible said that he's coming back to this earth upon a white horse. And all his armies followed him upon white horses. That's you. On white horses. I don't know about you, but I'm naming mine Trigger. Trigger. You young people don't know what I'm talking about. But we had Roy Rogers, didn't we? We had Trigger. He was a white horse, and the good hero man always rode a white horse in the olden days. One day after a while, the sky's going to open up, and we'll have Shekinah glory in our bodies, and that Shekinah glory will be radiating, and we'll ride upon white horses and come for a 1,000-year honeymoon upon this earth. He thinks good. So take a bite out of God, because he tastes good, he talks good, he treats you good, and he thinks good things for you. Let's stand and bow for prayer. Oh, taste and see. Tonight I want to have prayer with you. And I feel like in my soul there's somebody in this building tonight that's saying in your heart right now, it's been a while since I've been that close to Jesus. It's been a while. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to point you out, and I'm not going to come to you. But I do want to pray for you. Would there be one in this auditorium who say, pray for me? I know I need to be close enough to the Lord to court him. But it's been a while since I've been that close. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another one? Is there another one? I knew some. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the message, for reminding us that you are what turns us on. But we are what turns you on. It's a love match. And it is made in heaven. And it's between a Savior and a saint. And two hands went up in this room tonight that said, "It's been a while since I've been that close. And I fear that there are other hands that should have been raised." I pray tonight, God, that you will bless this invitation. Help us to realize this is not the end of the service. This is the reason for the service. Make this altar a pleasant place in our sight. We'll thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.